702. World of Work.
All right, as you know by now, we are broadcasting from the University of Pretoria because they're launching the UP Center for the Future of Work. It's really an exciting project because it will be Africa's Center of Excellence on the Future of Work. It will be producing these scientific publications, advisory services. There'll be training as well. It's basically going to be that Africa Excellence Center that's studying the future of work and collaborating with not just the private but the public sector as well to reskill and upskill current and future generations so that they are aligned, right, with the changing world of work. And I want to bring in the center's director, Professor Natasha Holzhausen from the Faculty of Economic and Management Sciences. Prof, thank you so much for coming through. Good morning.
Thank you for having me, Clement.
This is so exciting.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah. Tell me more about what the center is going to do. How is it going to serve this nation and even the continent broadly? And maybe you can explain what we mean when we talk about society 5.0.
Yes, so maybe I should start with society 5.0. Mm. So you will hear that people often loosely use the word the fourth industrial revolution. Mm. And it's not incorrect. You know, if we consider we had a first revolution, so moving from agriculture to industrialization, and now we are currently in what they refer to as the fourth industrial revolution. Mm. Now, the center prefers to refer to society 5.0. And this particular society stemmed from its Japanese thinking. Mm. So already you can see a particular work ethic that will be present. And specifically for the Center for the Future of Work at the University of Pretoria, in Society 5.0. So Society 5.0 states that we basically want to create smart people for smart cities. Mm. But the center wants to take it even further. We want to create smart people for smart sectors, because this is a multidisciplinary, interdisciplinary approach. So the different sectors, so literally whether it is economic and management sciences or natural and agricultural sciences, how do we collaborate? So together, how do we create those societies?
So how are you going to be doing that? Is it just going to be training as we are upskilling people? Or is it going to be you working on research that can be used by government or other stakeholders in society so that they are future fit? When you talk about that interdisciplinary approach, what does it involve?
So it literally involves everyone and everything, if I can put that in. So firstly, we are not going to pretend that we know everything. And that is why we want all the different faculties. We want all the different institutions, private sector, public sector, your non-for-profits. But then also, in our perception, we also want the youth, because there is a youth question with youth unemployment. But also aging societies, you know, what happens to them? Are we putting, we can't say, no, we're just going to put them to pasture. There is such a mine of knowledge, and we want to tap into that. So yes, we do research, so popular media as well as formal pieces. And I'm sure the VC would have told you that research informs curricula. Mm. So how do we then change? How do we adapt? So what is very important to us also is to ensure that the labor force, and that includes alumni, our students, that they can keep on competing in a very competitive market. So how do we then ensure, whether it's through training, so it's not just research, but actively and with skills labs spread over the whole university. Mm. And then also, hopefully, we have partnerships with our African counterparts, but also others. But you know, we want to really extend our footprint in Africa specifically.
What's interesting is that you're also working with one of the largest mining groups in the country to help them with rebuilding their training for artisans. How are you helping the mining company?
So we are also partnering with the Swedish Workplace Program. Mm. And through, because they already have extensive knowledge on this area. So what they refer to, what we refer to, is the hardest sector. Mm. So the mining is the hardest sector. So how do we create more synergy then through working together and collaboratively and finding best practice, but for the African continent. Because what is great for Sweden is not going to be great for us. But we are focusing our work then on the mining sector, the labor force there, management as well as labor.
How do you address concerns like it's going to be really tough when you look at the jobs front, because then people are going to lose their jobs, they're going to be replaced by robots. I mean, I met Libby here, who helps in the library here at the University of Pretoria. And then the Vice Chancellor was trying to explain earlier how that is not the case. The reason you've got a center like this is so that you start preparing yourself on how you can adapt to these technological advances. So how do you respond to that concern that, does this mean I, as Clement, I'm not going to be sitting here and hosting this show in 20 years' time? There'll be a robot doing the job.
Well, Clement, I sincerely hope not. And I am quite certain that it's not going to happen. We still need people. So yes, some jobs will become obsolete. Mm. You know, like it's done with all the different revolutions. But so what do? We need to reskill, retrain. So make sure that we remain current. But remember, you can never ever, yes, you've met Libby, and Libby is wonderful, but you actually still need to touch Libby. Just be able to speak to her. You know, and remember who created Libby.
Who maintains
humans.
Libby?
Humans. Who maintains Libby? Humans. So yes, there could be some kind of an artificial voice, perhaps stating a section or something, but we can never ever, because we are humans, we have culture, and remember the softer skills. Machines doesn't have, so I don't think it's like the end of the world scenario. So how do we ensure, and that is why we have this collaborative approach, to really understand within the different context, what will the future of work look like for that context or that sector. So I've already said I like referring to the sectors. So smart people within those sectors, not smart robots, smart people. So also then considering what makes you, I almost want to say, more employable than somebody else. And that relates back to lifelong learning.
So the center then is involved in upskilling and reskilling people. You are providing this critical research that helps various stakeholders to prepare for this future of work. But the reality is we live in a continent where digital access and connectivity is seriously limited. So how do we address that aspect? Because it's going to require technological advances. And we know how imperative it is that we address that digital divide, because connectivity and data affordability are still quite a big challenge. In fact, on the continent, not just in this country.
It is a major problem. You know, we have seen at the University of Pretoria, you know, even with lockdown, students having access to computers, data. So in my opinion, it is in bridging the digital divide, we need to have specifically the private sector come on board. We need to have partnerships. We have to look also and consider young entrepreneurs. There's a group, for example, in Kenya that they've figured out how to provide internet at a very, very competitive cost. So let's go and also learn, not just from the, I'm going to say, the professors and the doctors, but let's go and learn from the young entrepreneurs, from those that has figured it out. And yes, we mentioned the loss of a job, but you know, the fourth industrial revolution will transform. So not take over, but transform jobs. And it's actually expected that it would create actually an additional 133 million new ones in this year alone. So what are the trends, you know? So the trends would mean working together to bridge the digital divide, and then also in terms of what are the particular needs of our sectors.
How do we then modernize education? Because it's not just going to take the higher learning institutions like the University of Pretoria. You need to reinvent our public, our schools. Mm. How do we do that so that the synergy from society level to the basic education, public school level, and then to the higher learning institutions, yes. and then to this world.
Yes.
And then the people are ready for that labor market and they've got the skills that respond to what the labor market will require at the time.
I think the easiest way to... I have two thoughts in terms of that. Mm. Firstly, we should have perhaps started with the private sector, but we know that's not possible. So what I would think is that it's almost like backwards designing. What does the future graduate look like? Mm. What does the future employer look like? Because remember, you don't have to have a good degree to be an employer. Mm. And then also bringing in that element of self-employment and then designing backwards in terms of considering then in all the different sectors, so TVET, universities, schools, your non-for-profits. You know, the non-for-profits, people cannot underestimate the importance of that particular sector in terms of women apartheid. Mm. Who were the stalwarts? Who created opportunities for learning? Mm. Them. So I think we start at where we want to be, and then we work backwards.
Mm. Do you think the change is happening as soon as it should be? I mean, when we talk about the fourth industrial revolution, I mean, how much of that is part of like the big narrative, even in schools? When we talk about entrepreneurship, how much of that is like a big narrative at the basic education level? Mm. Or is there more we could do so that we start understanding how imperative it is that we treat this as a matter of urgency and we start getting everybody to talk about it?
You know what? I think that with COVID, it forced the importance of technology on people. Mm-hmm. You know, my then 6-year-old cousin, and it, you know, was having his classes over Zoom. So obviously more fortunate to be having that opportunities. And, you know, schools do have entrepreneurial days and things like that. But I think we need to create a bigger narrative in terms of self-employment.
Yeah.
And then also, and I'm going to add to that, given my background as well, citizenship. Yeah. So what does citizenship mean? You know, because citizenship would also link for me to, I was listening to your previous conversations, you know, to where we should go and how do we build the narrative and educate and create awareness. Mm. You don't need a lot of money to do that. Mm. Because some of your most successful entrepreneurs didn't have any startups with a lot of money. Mm. Yes, we have the Mamelodi Business Hub at the University of Pretoria. We have Technovation. So let's move into our schools. Let's move into primary schools.
Yeah.
So that our 6-7-year-old nephews and nieces, that they know what we need. But then also you and me. By default, I'm not very entrepreneurial in my thinking.
Yeah.
So I still have a lot to learn.
Yeah. And that's where a center like this comes in, right? Because my next question was going to be, how do we get even the educators to be so technologically advanced and understand the future of work so that they're able to teach our children about it? But the vice chancellor was saying that's where the center comes in. Like, they can train the educators so that they can go and impart that knowledge to the community.
I've been involved in projects with other organizations where we specifically also trained educators on something like road safety. You know, so it might seem simple to a lot of people, but we are losing a lot of children due to them just running across the streets, being hit by motor vehicles. So, you know, educators, let's take our educators. They are such a powerful part of the dynamic. Yeah. And then educate the professors.
Yeah, of course.
Don't ever think we know everything.
Thank you so much, Prof. for making time. That's Professor Natasha Holzhausen, who is with the Faculty of Economic and Management Sciences. He is the center's director. Now I'm going to bring in, thank you, Prof. I'm going
thank
to bring
you so
in,
much.
Ulebogeng Selebi, who is the deputy director for the Center for the Future of Work. Ulebogeng, I know you were busy there moderating the session, so it's been a hectic morning for you. I want you to talk to us about just how meaningful work can be, because often when we talk about work, it's just work for survival. But when we talk about the future of work, how do we make that meaningful?
Well, one of the trends that we notice is in the modern world of work, people want work that is meaningful, right? So nobody wants to go to the office just to say, you know, I went to the office and, you know, I got paid this paycheck. We now have this focus on what is the meaning of life. Like you hear a lot of, you know, it's, we see it as a millennial thing, but it's not a millennial thing. It's actually just an indication of the time that we live in. That work has now become something that is supposed to add meaning to us. It's supposed to answer that or be part of what answers the question of, you know, what is the meaning of life? Why am I here? What is my purpose, right? And that's a question that you see a lot of people in the workforce asking right now. And one of the things that organizations need to be prepared for is the fact that the workforce is changing. As much as we bring technology to work and the workplace is changing, but the workforce itself is changing. Our expectations of work have changed. So for instance, if I'm working for a nice big company, my expectations of what I'm supposed to get from that company is very different from what my mother expected 10 years ago or 20 years ago, right? So it's important that we adapt to that and that we understand that and we cater for that.
I want to take a quick call and then I'll ask you about what employers need to do so that they can start catering for that. David, you are calling us from Centurion. What do you want to say? Hi,
I think to me, don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to be all doom and gloom, but I think, you know, there needs to be a certain sense of urgency regarding the changes that are happening in the technology world, especially with regards to AI and machine learning. And I heard your guest saying that things are not as bad as, you know, most people like to make them out to be. But, you know, I think, you know, especially judging from conversations from people like Elon Musk, I think things are quite, you know, serious out there. As the only thing that I feel like South Africa is being, you know, in a relaxed state is because we are behind. We are way behind in terms of technological advancements. In other countries, there's already, I mean, these things are being felt. People are being replaced by, you know, robots in factories. They're being replaced in offices because, for example, in finance, I mean, the lower level jobs like your financial officers, the people that really do a lot of hands-on admin stuff, they're already replaced. I mean, if you take just a software like Xero is literally doing a lot of things automatically. It's doing a lot of summaries of transactions that used to be done by people before.
Yeah. David, I've got you. I think you've made the point. Thank you. Ulebogeng, David is raising a key point, which we've been talking about, and how behind we are, and how we don't seem to be treating this with a matter of agency. I remember a minister who couldn't even explain, in fact, the deputy president who couldn't explain the fourth industrial revolution. And that tells you a lot about where we are as a country.
Absolutely.
How do we fasten that process and speed it up? Because time is not on our side.
Yes. No, time is definitely not on our side. I think the caller raises a very important point, that at the end of the day, it's about us being, and one of the speakers in our event just said this now, about us being proactive rather than being reactive. And the problem is very, very often we live in a space and in a country very often where we're reacting to things, but we're not being proactive. We need to assess, even from nursery school level, for instance, are we equipping our children with the right skills for the workplace of the future, you know? So I think the caller raises a very important point, and I think we should emphasize being more proactive. And that's what the Center for the Future of Work here at the University of Pretoria aims to do, is that we have to, or are now currently doing, the research on what the future of work is, what are the skills that will be needed specifically in the African context, because we can't compare ourselves, as we've said, there's a lot of work happening pertaining to Society 5.0 in places like Japan and Europe. A lot of of research, but there's very little on what will the future of work look like in the African context. Are we supposed to be using the exact same technologies? And if so, how do we bring that into this African context? And again, it's about us bringing the right stakeholders together. Government has to come to the table. Private sector has to come to the table. Universities across the continent have to come to the table in order to devise these solutions of, are we equipping people with the skills for the future and the jobs of the future? Because as intimidated as we are with technology, technology has always displaced jobs from the beginning. From the beginning of time, we used horses, for instance, to help us on farms. Now we have tractors, right? So of course, people were nervous when tractors came through, but the reality is tractors have actually made the world of work better, right? So technology is an enabler. It's not there to replace humans.
And we adapt to it. And we have to with it.
Absolutely. We work together with technology.
Yeah. Ulebogeng, thank you.
Thank you so much, Clement. And thank you to your callers as well.
Yeah. Ulebogeng Selebi is the Deputy Director at the Center for the Future of Work.